The Lord be with you. We live in an anxious time. We see it around the world and in this country, in the political conversation. I think of Brexit across the Atlantic. It's an anxious time for the UK. It's an age of fake news and misinformation. It's not always clear which voices we can trust. Who has the real story? Who holds the truth? It's an anxious age out there, but it's also an anxious age for individuals. We live in this time of hyperconnection where there's instant messaging and social media, and we can stay in touch with our families and friends around the world. And yet so many of us feel isolated and alone. The rates of depression and anxiety among young people continue to rise and rise. In this age of connection, we feel more disconnected than ever. I think of sisters and brothers who've come to America from another country where there was a strong sense of community, where there was a sense that we belong, where we know our neighbor, and you come to a very individualistic culture, and you sense how isolated people are from one another. There's a Belgian psychotherapist named Esther Perel, and she says that the quality of our relationships determines the quality of our lives. The quality of our relationships determines the quality of our lives. If we have strong, healthy relationships, it's more likely that we will be healthy people, that we'll thrive. And I've seen this in my short time as a pastor, that those in the church who struggle most are the ones who are most disconnected, who don't have strong relationships, who feel isolated and alone. They're more likely to struggle in life. And that's where Satan wants us. The father of lies wants to lead us into a truth desert where we're on our own, where his whispers and his lies can have their way in our minds and hearts. And when we feel alone and when we feel left out, when we feel like we're an outsider, that's when we're most vulnerable to the words of the accuser of Satan. That's when we doubt the promises of God for us. We heard part of Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, to the church in the city called Thessalonica. And in this church, it's an anxious time because fake news is out there. There's a misinformation campaign in the church. There are rumors out that Jesus has returned, and you all missed him. That Jesus' second coming has happened, and you didn't know. And so people are feeling anxious. They're feeling like they've been left behind or forgotten. And they wonder, am I not part of God's people? Did I never really belong? And these lies in the church begin to weaken the faith and the unity of the body. And so Paul writes to remind them of what is true, what is trustworthy. And these false rumors that are spread, what they do is they turn salvation into a mystery, into a secret that only a few have access to. that only a few with the secret knowledge that Jesus has come back, they're the ones that hold the secret. They're the ones that hold the power over the community. But that was never the good news of the gospel. The good news is to be shared with all. There's nothing to be hidden. There's no secret knowledge that only a few special people have access to. But these secrets, these mysteries are powerful. When you heard the reading, I'm going to guess that you were most interested in verses 3 through 9. These verses about this man of sin who's going to rise to power and set himself up as God, this mysterious message. Who is this? How will we know when he comes? We're drawn to these things that we don't understand. But Paul has gone over this. He says, this is no big deal. Don't you remember? I've gone over this. You don't need to be worried. You're not going to miss Jesus. You're not going to miss Jesus. And yet these mysteries, they get our attention. Has anyone heard of the Left Behind book series? When I was in high school, everyone was reading Left Behind. And these books, they easily play on our anxiety and our fear that maybe we're not really included in God's people. Maybe we really don't belong. Maybe I don't have true faith. And they turn anxiety into a fruit of the Spirit. Like, it's good to be very anxious about your salvation. It's really good to question who's in and who's out. But that's not what Paul is about. That's not what the good news is about. He wants them to have a deep confidence and a deep peace and a deep assurance that Jesus is their Savior, that Jesus died for them, that they haven't been forgotten. So what gives us that confidence and that peace? If you have your Bible open, look at verse 8. Then the man of sin will appear. The Lord Jesus will overthrow him with the breath of his mouth. The glorious brightness of Jesus' coming will destroy the man of sin. Think about that. Does it seem like a fair fight? Jesus sneezes, and the man of sin is blown away. Jesus just turns his glorious face, and the man of sin melts into nothing. This is not a contest, because the victory has already been won, friends. Jesus is already on the only throne of authority in heaven or on earth. The victory is won. That's where the drama is. The drama has already happened. God's work of salvation has already happened. It happened in Mary's womb. It happened in the towns of Galilee as Jesus proclaimed God's kingdom, as he healed the sick. The real drama happened on Calvary, on the cross, in the empty tomb, when Jesus went up to heaven and took his seat on the throne next to the Father. That's the real drama. These are details about a future, but the victory is sure. The Lord Jesus has won. And that's what Paul wants the Thessalonians to understand, to remind them that the Lord Jesus is on the throne and he will not forget them. They have not been left alone, but they belong. They are connected to the body of Christ. In verse 1, our translation doesn't quite get this clearly, but at the end it says, this concerns the time when we will go to be with Jesus. And in Greek, Paul uses a word, episynagoges. Maybe you've heard of the word synagogue. That's where this comes from. Synagogue was the place where God's people gathered for worship, for prayer. Paul is saying that we will be gathered together in Jesus, that the people of God are safe and secure with Jesus. When God saves, he doesn't just leave us on our own. Salvation, yes, it's always personal, but it's never individualistic. It's never me and Jesus on our own. It's always that God, when God saves, he gathers a people for himself. Salvation is not just your individual drama. It is the drama of God gathering a people together for himself. In the early church, some of the early teachers and pastors of the faith, they used this image of a wheel to try to teach what salvation is. So as individuals, we live on these spokes of the wheel. And if God is at the center of everything, when we feel isolated, we're further away from God, but we're also further away from one another. You see the distance between the spokes. But when God draws us to himself, to the center of all reality, to our true identity, we also get closer to one another. You see how the spokes get closer, right? So when God saves, he draws us not only to himself, but to each other, to be part of a community where we are safe and secure in Christ, where we are connected to one another. But how can we be sure? How can we be confident that we're included? How can we be sure that we will go to be with Jesus in the end? Well, the truth is that we're already with Jesus. That's the real news here. We will go to be with Jesus because we already are with Jesus. So there is no doubt about that. If we, by faith, have been baptized into Christ's body, then we're already with Jesus. And that can never be taken away. Listen to what St. Paul says. I have been crucified with Christ. I don't live any longer, but Christ lives in me. Now I live my life in my body by faith in the Son of God. He loved me and gave himself for me. And again in Galatians, all of you who were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You have put him on as if he were your clothes. Do you feel that? Do you feel like when you walk around, you're walking clothed with Christ? Paul says that's true of you if you've been baptized. It's not you who live, but it's Christ who lives in you. You have been raised up with Christ. You died, your old self. Now your life is hidden with Christ in God. Christ is your life. So when he appears again on that day, you will also appear with him in heaven's glory. There's no doubt when you're with Christ now, of course you'll be with Christ when he comes again. So the Thessalonians don't need to be afraid. And yet we so easily get caught up in ourselves, in our own confusion, our own doubts, our own fears and anxieties. We're like those two disciples on the road to Emmaus. We have all these questions and all this fear about what if, and was Jesus' body stolen, or is he alive? And yet Jesus is there walking with us this whole time. And we just, we're so focused on our own questions and doubts, we can't see. Jesus is here. He's with us. Mary at the tomb, Jesus was talking with her. She didn't recognize it at first. When you look in the mirror in the morning, who do you see looking back? Who do you see? Who do you see in the mirror? And whose voice do you listen to when you look in the mirror? Are you believing fake news about yourself? That you're not beloved? That maybe you don't belong? That maybe your faith isn't strong enough? Is that an accusing voice? What lies is Satan trying to sow? What misinformation campaign is going on in your head? We're all tempted to believe that somehow we've missed it and that we're not really with Jesus, or we don't really belong. And yet the gift of salvation has already been given. It's ours. And yet Satan wants to steal what's already ours. It's what he did in the garden. Adam and Eve, they had a life with God. They were with God in the garden. And what does Satan say? Are you sure? Can you trust it? They were with him. And yet Satan leads them to doubt and to fear. Is it any different today? Are you sure? Are you sure your faith is good enough? You really haven't prayed enough lately. Maybe you just can't cut this life with Jesus. Maybe you're not enough. But it's already ours. It's already been given to us. We've already been washed. Satan can't take that away. Do you remember what Jesus says in the Gospel of John? I know my sheep. I know my sheep. I give them eternal life, and they will never die. No one will steal them out of my hand. No one. It's not Satan, not this man of sin. No one will steal them out of my hand. Here's a thought for you. Maybe it's a scary thought. Maybe it's a glorious thought. What if you already are the person you wish you were? What if you already are that person you wish you were? Maybe not from your eyes, but from God's eyes. What if when the Father looks at you, he sees someone who is holy and faithful? Because when the Father looks at us, he sees Christ in us. He sees a beloved child. What if you already are who you wish you were? What would it mean for your life to live out of that place, to live out of that confidence, that you have been accepted, that you do belong, that you are with Jesus, and you will always be with Jesus? Can you imagine the freedom of that kind of life? Can you imagine the confidence of that kind of life? To believe with every fiber of your being that when the Father sees you, he sees the righteousness of Christ. Can I get an amen? Can we look in the mirror and say with St. Paul, I don't live any longer, not that old self who was led astray by fake news and lies about do I belong, am I enough? That person is gone, but Christ lives in me, a beloved child of God. And this life I live in my body, I live by faith in the Son of God because he loved me and gave himself for me. Oh yeah, we see our flaws, but God sees Christ in us. Because when we were baptized into Christ, we were made one with him. We were united to him, and we were united to his body, the church. And God has promised to never abandon us or forsake us, even to the very end of the age. So friends, I want you to know that you're safe with Jesus. And if you feel that you're doubting that, if you have never really put your faith in Christ, I want you to know the invitation is open and the Father is waiting with open arms for you to come running. And if you've been baptized and you struggle to believe, to have that confidence, I want you to come again to Jesus. Come to the table. Taste and see and remember that you do belong, that you are part of Christ and his church. And taste that freedom, taste that joy, because you will be with Jesus today and always. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.